Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, is that the devil?
No.
Oh, too funny. Good evening, everybody.
Hey. Yeah, I had to bring it in with that. You know, he wants to stop us. Even though we're trying to help him, because it isn't his greatest trick that we're trying to help people believe that he's not there. We're on his side.
That's right. That's the greatest trick ever done. You know, is for to convince people that the devil does not exist. You know, and good evening, everybody. Good evening and welcome.
Hello.
Nice Friday.
Yeah, it was a silly Friday from the beginning, from the very morning of this Friday, taking out the garbage, a raccoon flexed on me in my own front yard, like did the whole stand up, and then didn't even run away when I flickered the light. He walked away, like, I'll be back when you go to work to go dig in your trash. Come on, man. Silly Friday. Somebody has to leave work early. I got to stay and cover the shift. Just a goofy Friday. Come in, my niece is playing old gangster rap records. I don't know what's going on anymore.
Yeah, right. She's an OG from way back, but you know, hey, that's how it goes. But welcome, everybody. This is, you know, a privilege and an honor to have you guys here with us tonight. Welcome to our Friday night show. Tonight you'll have Mario, you'll have Father Teresa, you'll have Emily. Emily is running a few minutes behind, but she'll be here shortly. This is Kim with Black Free Thinkers, and we're here to challenge you to think and live for yourself, not convert you. And I just wanted to stop by for a minute and say hello to everybody, but also to let you guys know that Black Free Thinkers, we're trying to expand our network and trying to just expand our program and what we're trying to offer you in, you know, a variety of ways. So we are having a fundraiser. So I put the link in the chat room, and I'm also going to post it on my wall. And we're just asking everyone to contribute, you know, whatever you can, and it will go towards the expansion of Black Free Thinkers Media and what we're going to bring to you. There are quite a few things that, you know, we're working on in the background that we want to put together and develop, but, you know, it's going to take resources, and we're just asking you all to help contribute. We bring the show to you faithfully, you know, we bring the show to you consistently, at least once, twice a week, and so we're just asking for you guys to kind of chip in a little bit so that we can move forward. So thank you so much.
Yay.
Right on.
And also you can find our information on iTunes as well. So not only can you hear it on Blog Talk Radio, it's also available on iTunes, and you know, you can listen to it at your leisure. But it's just as imperative that we put that information out there. So thank you. We appreciate you.
Ooh. All right, you guys want to lean in on it? Do you want to go right into the good old Republican Party there?
Did you ever? Go ahead, Mario. So you just left the raccoon alone? Just left him alone?
Oh, the raccoon?
Yeah.
You said I flickered the garage light at him, and he stood up at me. Like he wanted to get it on, like he knew jujitsu or something. I kept flickering the light, and then he just he calmly walked away, like he was the bigger man in the situation. he was gonna go in the garbage anyway.
You gotta be careful, helmet don't play. I remember seeing some YouTube video in which the hunter is getting his ass kicked by the deer he was hunting, and it's just at me rolling.
Jeez, that's on you. You need to link that to me. I like to see that stuff go down. I know they got the rabies and all that. Try not to let the dog out too late.
Yes. Exactly. Oh, that's too funny.
Hilarious.
All right, how's everybody doing there?
I had to let science handle me a little bit because had to get four wisdom teeth pulled, and so my face is swollen up right now, so I probably won't talk too much. So I'll probably hang around in the background, but I'm here. So I'm taking some sand. I ain't got time to bleed, and I'm a horde. You know, I'm around the clock. I've been in three wars, and you don't believe that shit.
So there you go. So we got to find him a gift. Maybe we'll send him a binder full of women.
or me. I work some overtime. I did something.
There you go. That's right. You bought the binder full of women. Have some fun there. You know, Mitt Romney, he didn't know any women, but he got him binders full of women. That was interesting. But, it's been, you know, quite an interesting week. Like I said, you know, they have been working a lot. So, you know, my time is not as available as it used to be. But, hey, that's how it goes. But, you know, there have been a whole bunch of things happening over the past several weeks, and it kind of brings us into our subject matter, racism and hate propagated by religion. And, you know, going back to, you know, the debate, you know, it was just interesting, just looking at it in general. Not only, you know, racism and hatred, but you have sexism, you know, xenophobia, you know. And xenophobia can encompass, you know, quite a few different things. And basically what xenophobia is the dislike or fear of the unknown, okay? And the interesting thing about it is when he was talking about his binders full of women, it kind of reminded me of how in many religious institutions, how women and children are viewed as property. And, you know, that creates some of the issues as well, because in a situation that I know of, I know several situations, but in this one particular situation, there was an incident in which the husband, how can I put it, he basically raped his wife. And so with a lot of the men, they were like, well, how can a husband rape his wife? Just because, you know, you're married, that does not make her your property.
Right.
So, you know, just like you'll hear different people saying, you know, about their children, how they can do whatever they want to their children. No, your children are not your property, period.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's just interesting because, you know, I posted some information earlier this week talking about religion and, you know, talking about racism. And some interesting facts about racism. Did you want to talk about that a little bit, William?
Yes. Leaning in here from the going to the centerofinquiry.net study. Bring this page up. I was doing a little bit of research there, running around on Thursday and Wednesday. Now, what we found here on this page, I'm going to read directly from it. It said, "It is not the fault of atheists. It's the religion that makes religious people distrust others so different from themselves." Like, we were talking about, like, tribalism here. Like, I'm a member of this church. We interpret the word this way. Even churches where, like, we dress this way. Like, in this church, all the women wear dresses even outside of church. They just don't own pants. Pentecostal. And let's keep reading here, going to the next paragraph. The social sciences have long been studying how religion increases trust among congregants who already know each other inside a church, but trust drops towards unfamiliar people if the cause for the decrease in trust is just the prior social familiarity, and not any religious factor. Then all religious groups and non-religious groups would roughly display the same pattern, but they don't. Conservative Protestants are more distrusting of strangers than non-religious groups or mainline Protestants. The Catholics are even more distrusting, and this is from a study called the Radius of Trust Religion, the Social Embeddedness and Trust in Strangers. It's a book by Michael R. Welch. And yeah, it's like they're really pointing into that tribalism. Excuse me, and I guess from the little bit that I know about the Catholics, didn't they recently started letting followers read the Bible? Like they're really just teaching them dogmatics straight from the word of the mouth of the top guys there. I guess that could make them a little bit more tribal. And then if they're all segregated, as that old that Martin Luther King quote. And it's easy to, like, as soon as you step outside your church and you see a black person and you've only been around all the white people in your same religion there, hey, I could see that bringing up some racism. I'm not the one that did the study, though. They did. I'm just looking at their facts and just looking at what I see going on around the planet and with the Republican Party as it leans toward them.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, a lot of that has been happening. And what they do is they will find differences between their group and the other group. And again, you called it correctly, tribalism. And what they do is they exploit the differences. They exploit the weaknesses because they know they have these different groups fighting amongst one another that neither group will have the time nor the faculty really to focus on what the real problems are. So, again, when you have people out here fighting about black and white issues, fighting one another, you know, just different things like that, it all boils down to the fact that it's pretty much all about money. And it's been demonstrated. It's pretty much the haves versus the have-nots, but all these other distractions. And, again, you know, kind of plays into the religion thing quite a bit because, you know, you have the religious people telling their congregation, telling people that they too can be wealthy, they too can be rich, and many of these people are voting and thinking in the same capacity as people that have money because they believe one day that they will be on the same level and that they will have money as well. So, you know, it's just interesting, and these people in ministry and politicians, they know that those people will never attain that type of wealth, but they're selling them that dream, and they're selling them hope. And so, again, you know, it ties back into religion because it's like they have faith, and they know that they've asked God for these things, and in the Bible it says that, you know, you'll have enough money to, you know, support your children and your children's children, keep them. So it's just interesting looking at the psychology behind all of that.
Yeah, she
exactly.
See Kim knows how to segue.
Say that again, honey.
Oh, yeah, you know how to segue there because today I checked that mailbox, Silly Friday, here's my sample ballot, and what we've been talking about here is how we need to vote no on Amendment 8. I'm going to go ahead. I have my sample ballot right here on Constitutional Amendment 8, Article 1, Section 3, proposing an amendment to the state constitution providing that no individual or entity may be denied on the basis of religion, religious identity, or belief, governmental benefits, funding, or other support, except as required by the First Amendment to the United States Constitution, and deleting the prohibition against using revenues from the public treasury directly or indirectly in aid of any church, sect, or religious denomination, or in aid of any sectarian institution. They want to take my tax dollars and give it to church schools.
Right.
Which will make put less money in the pot for public schools.
Exactly.
Go ahead and legislate the Bible in there onto my tax dollars. So we're talking big on vote no on Amendment 8 around here.
Exactly. Yeah, and the interesting thing about it is, you know, with that there, what they've done in other places, other cities, is when they try to make that type of legislation, what they do is, this is going to be religious-based, they introduce things like the Flying Spaghetti Monster. And so the religious leaders got angry, but they couldn't really object, because if they object to the Flying Spaghetti Monster, then we have a right to object to them and their God. So what happens is they end up dropping the whole thing, and we need to start pushing that more. But it's interesting that you would bring up the charter school, and this is something that's happening around the country, and this has been kind of quiet, but I've been kind of talking about it a little bit. But with some of these charter schools, what's happening is you have businessmen and businesswomen from other countries coming over and buying the charter schools. So, you know, they're privately owned, so they can sell it to whomever they choose. So what they do is they come to this country, they buy the charter school, and it's perfectly legal as long as they give a minimum of 10 Americans a job. And with that, they are rushed to the front of the immigration line. So basically, they're purchasing their, you know, citizenship, you know, or partial citizenship in the United States. It's just interesting.
Man, up there in Indiana there, they're trying to get the Lord's Prayer mandatory in schools. It can be said over the loudspeaker by a student or by one of the staff members. Give us this day our microwave breakfast pizza. Like, they're really gunning for it.
Right. Exactly. We have a call, Mario?
Yeah, 312. Talk to me.
Oh, how you doing there?
312?
Are you on with us?
Hi.
We love you.
Hello, guys. Hey. My name is Orlandra. How are you doing tonight?
Hi.
All right,
we're doing well.
Okay, great. I was just calling because I'm listening in. Emmeline invited me, and I'm having a great time so far.
Okay, great.
Hey, thank you. We try to, you know, bring the news, bring the facts. I love that Kim provides this platform. Like, I didn't even know how to get a podcast going. I didn't know what a blog, talk radio, or anything was. So it's fantastic that Kim just set out this canvas, and we can just paint all over it with our free thoughts.
Yeah.
Do you have anything to add?
Well, what I feel like, because I'm a humanist, I don't believe in God, and I used to be a Jehovah's Witness, so I have lots and lots and lots of horror stories. And what bothers me the most is that this presidency is being decided per who is a more of a believer, and that's insane to me. I just feel like religion is about the afterlife, and we live in a lousy thinking now, right now. Why are we focusing on what's going to happen to us after we die? It's stupid to me.
Yeah, I can see
exactly.
I agree with you. I'm sorry, Kim.
No, go ahead, dude.
My grandmother is Jehovah's Witness, and I was raised along those lines. This is Mario speaking, by the way. So I was raised along those lines and stuff like that, and there are a lot of things I picked up on, like just how I stopped saying the Pledge of Allegiance and stuff like that. But then, you know, the older I got, the more I started to get less and less involved with religion. And I guess it was a good thing that I didn't have a large circle of friends to influence me on that. And this election here, it is a trip because, you know, I know that ostensibly, at least Obama says he's a religious or something like that. You hear Romney really trumpeting his religion and letting it be known that that's one of the things that he's going by. This is the same religion that pretty much said that black people were pretty much like, I guess, a subspecies or something like that, inferior. And on top of that, you know, I know people who are only not voting for Obama primarily because of his stance on LGBT rights and stuff like that. And they're voting for Romney because he is against LGBTQ rights. And this is it's really tripping how flimsy the platform is to get people to side with one candidate or another. You know, I mean, especially when it comes to their beliefs. Even Joe Biden said he doesn't believe that his beliefs should be used for everybody to decide what everybody should do. I mean, what women should do with their bodies. That's between them and God. Okay.
You know, guys, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. You go ahead.
Well, I'm struggling only because, like, the whole presidency race and all of this, the election and blah, blah, blah. Like, Mitt Romney, to me, is like a gag candidate. They want you to vote for Obama because he's the logical choice. And that's why we have such sucky running mates with him. So it's kind of like, I don't know. I think what we need to focus on, like, seriously, is our planet, because this is our home, and there's only one race, the human race, and we should just do what we have to do and forget everything else that's muddling what we need to do for survival.
Hey, I think what comes up in the news with that fracking business, you've been hearing about that? Where they're digging for oil?
I actually haven't. I don't subscribe to any media. I try not to. Only the internet. I don't watch the news ever.
I get these. This one. It's a podcast. Available on iTunes called the Professional Left, with a couple of guys, Drift Glass and Blue Gal. They're way far left. It's a 60-minute show. That's where I get some good information there. But the news on television, I enjoy the most of the performance in that. Like, they really like Big Ed and Rachel Maddow. They just get up there and they really blow up the spot. They amuse me more than anything. Because I know what party I know who I'm gonna vote for and who I'm not, for what reasons. And then they just provide a nice show.
Yep.
So there you go. But you have some really great thoughts. And maybe if you get a chance, you can find Black Nonbelievers of Chicago on Meetup, even though I know you don't do a lot of, internet. But Black Nonbelievers of Chicago is a Meetup group in Chicago, and we're actually, growing, and we're going to be doing things in the community. There's a lot of things that are coming up. So if you get a chance, look us up, blacknonbelieversofchicago.org.
Okay, great. I'll definitely do that.
Cool. It's nice talking to you. Hey, you going to stay online and listen?
Yeah, thanks so much, guys. I appreciate it.
And right thanks on. For calling. But I want to address something that she said earlier when she was talking about, death and all of that. That's the fear of the unknown, and that's one of the, pillars of religion, fear, guilt, and manipulation. And many of them fear, death. They don't know what's going to happen after they die, which is why some of them hold on to the belief, because they believe that they're going to get another shot at what they're doing. They believe they're going to see, relatives that have since passed on. That's where the guilt comes in. And, the manipulation part of it is, you'll have, some of these people in ministry telling them, if you don't do as we tell you to do, or if you don't do exactly as the Bible tells you to do, which allows them to manipulate them even more, that means they're going to hell. And, of course, they don't want to be a crispy critter.
Yeah. And eternally, like, it just doesn't end. Like, that's a ridiculous idea. Like, I mean, with that, like, I understand that I came up a natural atheist, and I'm not ex-religious, but, like, just presenting that idea makes me think immediately that you just made that up to control somebody. Like a sadistic boss that just immediately just threatens to fire the staff. Well, really, like Republicans are doing right now, actually. We've seen where they're sending letters out to their staff saying, you got to vote this way or I'm going to sell the company and close it down,
Right, exactly. That's fear. That's, playing on somebody's fear, exploiting their fear. So So they're telling them if they don't vote for Romney and if Obama is reelected, then that will affect their jobs. That will affect their pay. And then also, you know, with the media being driven the way that it has been, it has people thinking that the economy is in horrible condition. Now, we may not be necessarily living the same way we were 10 years ago. However, with the stock market, you know, when it did adjust itself, it corrected itself to the correct levels where it should have been. But the stock market now is getting ready to hit 14,000. That is the highest it has been. You know, Wall Street bankers, Wall Street just in general, they have prospered even more under this administration. They are not creating jobs on purpose. So, you know, it's a method to their madness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. What you said there about the, like, the dynamic between the boss and the staff, which, of course, is always going to be less bosses and more staff, and, like, what we call that, like, a dogmatic social construct, where they're like, they want it to be exactly this way. If you're doing this job, you're getting this little dollar an hour. We're not going to raise that minimum wage. Or if you're not getting minimum wage, like they said, all those, that company, Staples, and all those jobs, it's just like $9.25 an hour, $9.75 an hour. You might hit the big bucks and hit $12.25 an hour. You know, like this, I think it is a dogmatic social construct.
Exactly, very much so. And because many people, especially people that are on the lower rung of the socioeconomic ladder, they've been taught about authority and submission. So if they have, you know, different people, not only the pastor and the leadership at the church, but also their management, their bosses at work, telling them, this is what's good for you, this is what's best for you. And these people are already living in fear. First of all, many of them are not making any money. And then, you know, they're trying to hold on to their job. And then they're trying to be obedient because they've been taught obedience and submission. You know, I'm not saying that they're going to go out and vote for Romney because they were told. However, the people in charge understand a little bit of the psychology behind it. And they know exactly what they're doing. They're instilling fear in these people. And when you can control somebody's thoughts and you can keep them in fear like that, you can control them.
Yeah, I think, and probably with the more money you make with one of these companies, the more you'll be afraid of losing that salary, because who knows how long you're going to, until you get employed again, if you get employed again, and if you're going to match or increase that salary in this market. Like, yeah, right, no, you're not. You're not going to go back up to that dollar amount.
Exactly. And then for those that had lost their jobs before and it took them 1-2 years to find another job, they don't want to take the chance of losing the job that they have found, that they do have currently. So, I mean, it's a lot behind that. And, you know, again, you know, you have, you know, this servitude thing going on here. And we have to be cognizant of what's happening. You know, we have to be aware as to how they're trying to manipulate certain things. And we just have to do better at these things. You know, teach people how to not live in fear. Teach people how to research these things for themselves. So it's just, you know, we have to do better just across the board.
And encourage, like, please, like, that's why I say the names of these websites that I'm looking these up from, like, yeah, go dig into it. You know, like, and look at your, like me, like, I got my sample ballot. I'm going to look at the name of every single person on there. Like, I already got, you know, all the congressmen. Of course, the presidential one is selected, but there's people that are going to be over the school board. There's going to be people that go over environmental safety. Like, I got to look these people up and see what their background is, and you got to do the same. You know, if you're in Orlando, you probably got your sample ballot today. Go look it up.
Exactly.
I've been running my mouth. Mario, you're on the line. I know you're there.
Yeah, I'm here. I actually hadn't voted Wednesday. I went ahead and knocked mine on out. And it was really encouraging to see how many people had already, black people had already come out to early vote. And I guess either most of them saw the debate or heard about it. You know, and it's interesting that more people are paying attention to this than I thought, because I understand that you want somebody to agree in your beliefs and stuff like that. I mean, you want somebody who's going to identify closely with you as well. Me, you know, I'm generally like, well, as long as he's doing enough good to buy the country and stuff like that, I'm really pretty much good on a lot of that. But you have another candidate, and I'm not trying to influence anybody's viewpoint or something like that, who's a religion, and maybe they change this. I don't understand how you can say, put this into a religion and then say, well, at this time, we changed our mind about it. But according to this quote here by Joseph Smith himself, there's a reason why one man is born black and with other disadvantages, while another is born white with great advantages. The reason is that we once had an estate before we came here and were obedient more or less to the laws that were given us there. Those who were faithful in all things there pre-existence received greater blessings here, and those who were not faithful received less. There were no neutrals in the war in heaven. All took sides either with Christ or with Satan. Every man had his agency there, and men receive rewards here based upon their actions there. Just as they will receive rewards hereafter for deeds done in the body. The Negro evidently is receiving the reward he merits. So, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of hard for me to side with any religion, especially in America, when, you know, the only reason we got that religion is because our slave master was that religion in the first place. But to me, to go out your way to put that into your religious doctrine, you know, and you're going to follow behind this guy, like, it seems like it takes an incredible amount of cognitive to do it. But, you know, maybe I'm looking at it the wrong way.
No. Go ahead, William.
Oh no, yeah. Let me pass the mic to Kim there. Yes.
Oh no, no, you're not looking at it the wrong way at all. It's, you know, just looking at it overall. Again, you know, talking about, you know, hatred and racism that's propagated. You know, what's interesting about Mormonism is, you know, and again, Salahuddin. In the chat room just made some great points about that culture. And I call it a culture because it is a cult, but that's almost any group. But anyway, me personally, you know, when you read into some of the history of Mormonism, now that they've accepted black people as non-cursed and accept black people into the priesthood, what they're teaching their people now is, if you're black and you join the Mormon church, it is their job to serve you while you're here on earth, because when you die and you go to heaven, then you will be their servant. And, you know, what I find interesting is, you know, again, we were talking a little bit about Minister Farrakhan, and, you know, the Scientology and how you have a lot of black ministries, you know, accepting these other, what they called back in the day, heretical religions. Same thing with some Mormons. You know, you see quite a few blacks going over to Mormonism. But my question is, are they really going over because they believe that, or because they found a loophole and they found something that they can exploit? So these people are going to serve them and give them everything they want now. And they know dang on well that there is no heaven, so they're not going to have to reciprocate. But anyway, that's how my little mind works. It's just interesting.
That's me, too. I'm always suspicious of a sociopath somewhere within a square mile. There's a sociopath somewhere that's going to want to take advantage of any type of mammal around them.
Right.
Yeah, and particular, of course.
Go ahead, I ain't even.
Oh yeah, of course in religion, because like all the stories you always see is typically just the constant raping of grown women, or coercing and raping, molesting young girls and boys. Like I saw that, like the one in the Black Freethinkers Praxis. I see a lot of them in there. Like that's a good place to get some of the hardcore news you're not going to just see on the television set there, and the one in Africa. He had the 14-year-old girl, and he wanted to perform an exorcism, and then this part is supposed to be performed by your husband, but you're only 14, so you don't have one, so I'm going to be your husband. Like, he just, and that's probably just what he does all day. And it's like, obviously, like, let go of the religion, man. You're a guy, and you wanna bang hot young chicks, but you don't want to do it the normal way and just go to a bar and, like, an adult and talk to, like, someone who's 27 years old or older like you. You want to hide behind this creepy religion and be a weirdo about it and pretend you're performing magic tricks. Like, just go have sex the normal way. That's obviously what you want to do. Follow nature.
And we got a call online. 804, you're live.
Thank you. I just want to let you know that I was listening, and I've been on this path here for a while, for a good little while, and to have sense enough to know that religion is the biggest crime against humanity. And the Mormon mafia is sucking by none out of the Jewish mafia.
Okay.
Gotta put the, yes. But it's just so much on my mind. And but I'm gonna say this. I had the opportunity to go to Egypt, go to Luxor, and I saw all the pyramids. And if you notice, how they gave us Yul Brynner and Charles Tester and Elizabeth Taylor. They give us this stuff every year. But I come to find out that's where all the religions came from. That was our myth. See, they don't want us to go back to Egypt, where the whole foundation was laid. See what I'm saying?
Yeah. Ooh, why, appreciate you calling in, man. I'm glad you're listening in.
Yeah, but I'm going to say this in close. The longer we take to go back and recognize Egypt, that old-time religion, them the true curse of us ignoring our own heritage. They don't want us to go there. They don't want us to leave their religions alone. But we must drop them. Jesus Christ, Moses, Abraham, none of them never existed. You know that, don't you? Y'all know that, don't you?
See,
they done made a religion out of our myth. Them was our myth and things out of Egypt. And they made a whole religion out of it. Y'all know Walter Williams, he right there from Chicago. All you got to do, Walter Williams, go to YouTube. He got several programs on it. He wrote the three books, The Historical Origins of Christianity, and Islam and Judaism, and he just finished his latest book. He the most dangerous black man in this country, the most dangerous black man. And see, we should be the last people on this earth to have a belief system and religion. That's what been crossing us up.
Ooh.
And what's interesting. What's interesting about all of it is, again, when you look at the history of religion, look at the destruction, look at the path of destruction that it has laid, not only, within our particular culture in this country, but just from the beginning of the records that, we've been able to go back with the Inquisition. You just look at history. Look at the history, and it's just it's really interesting because we really do need to go back and study.
That's what Walter Williams did for us. He did all the research, all of it. He carried us through all the ecumenical councils. See, just like the ecumenical council of Ephesus, that's where they got the Jesus from, right out of there. And the model of the Turkish. The Vatican came from Constantinople. All you got to do, get that book.
Okay, so you say Walter Williams, not Walter T. Williams, not the Republican, Walter T. Williams.
No, he don't have no. That's Walter Williams. that's fortunate.
I will look it up. I will look it up. But, you know, that's great, and we appreciate, you know, your support. Thank you so much, because, you know, it's important that we share information with one another, and I'm definitely going to look this well. I'm looking it up now, looking him up, and hopefully I'll be able to find some information. You say he's here in Chicago?
No, I'm in, yeah, he's from Chicago. Yes, ma'am. Oh, and another thing before I leave, they lying on Barack Obama. See, he's saying, he's telling the Jews no more. See, he had to do enough favor to get his feet in the door to cut these Jews off. And that's, you know, he fired Asheroth, Emmanuel, right? Or Zach, Lawrence Summers.
Well, you know, again, we're going to look this information up. And, you know, again, you know, I want to look it up before, you know, I go into that a little bit more in depth. But, you know, at the end of the day, we have to live together. We have to live together, and we are spending too much money across the board in all of these other countries when there's so much that needs to be done in our country here. We need to rebuild the infrastructure. We need to rebuild our communities. We need to invest more money in education to educate our people. You know, one of the things, you know, one of the problems is a lot of the manufacturing jobs, you know, have been shipped to these other countries. And now they're saying the industrial, the high-tech jobs that are in this country, that we don't have enough people to fill the positions. So that's why you have the H-1B visas and other different categories. So if we focus back in training and education in this country, we'll be able to, you know, breed, you know, a new culture. Go ahead.
Another fact. Go to Gordon Duff. He owns YouTube, and he writes the newspaper Veterans Today. He's Jewish. He the one correcting all of this craziness, foolishness about Obama.
Again, we just have to be very careful with, you know, pointing fingers at particular cultures, because we've been on the receiving end of people saying that, oh, well, it's those Black Americans, those African Americans, or what have you. So we just have to go in to do some research, and because sometimes we only get part of the story, we only get half the story. In some cases, it's extremely exaggerated. So, you know, I have to do some more research on that. But, hey, you know, we'll look it up, dear. We'll look it up. But we thank you for calling in. We appreciate all that you had to offer. So thank you. And I will be looking Walter Williams up.
Yes, ma'am. And look, could I say this the last thing I'm going to say. See, they done already showed us that they done declared war on America by taking the jobs out of America. They not coming back.
All right. Thank you so much. And you have a good weekend. Thank you, dear. All right. Getting back to, you know, racism and hatred propagated by religion, we have to, like I said, you know, investigate it, look more into it, and understand what's happening. You know, again, we've talked a little bit about colonialism, you know, in this country, and we've talked about, you know, some of the situations that have been created and that is continuously, you know, perpetrated. And so we have to do better at these things. And like I said, we have to look at the whole story and go in, because just because you have a group of people telling a lie or a few lies, that doesn't make it true. It's just that that particular group of people believes those lies, you know, which comes to some of the racism. But again, you know, going back to religion and racism, you know, what exactly, you know, has religion, you know, perpetrated, you know, and propagated? And what I mean by that is, you know, again, going back to the curse of Ham, and that some of these religions believe. And, you know, there is, in some cases, we have some people in our own community that believe, you know, in the curse of Ham, you know, about the Cain and the Abel story, and, you know, how much damage has that done?
I think mentally a lot. Like one example, a guy that I'm around sometimes during the week at work. I made a little mistake speak, and I used the word ain't. Like I said something like we ain't got no, and I stopped and corrected myself. And then what he said, not even under his breath, like he said it like this was just casual talk, and he said, oh, that's the nigga coming out of you. And I was like, oh, geez, what, really? You actually think that way? And I had to stop, and I was like, you know what? He's programmed that way, like that's been pumped into his head and into, you know, generations down, and it lands on him, a 36-year-old man in 2012, and that's how he thinks niggas talk. It's like, no, we actually don't. It's just I've been down here in Florida for a long time, and I kind of got influenced with bad grammar. And I make a few verbal mistakes every once in a while, and I say we ain't got no, but I'll stop and correct myself. But to him, it's that's the nigga coming out, doing air quotes for the people that can't see me.
Wow, you know, this whole thing is interesting, but again, you know, it goes back to xenophobia, and, you know, people fear what they don't understand. They fear what they don't know, and, you know, it's interesting that scenario that you just brought up, that, you know, it's just unreal, you know, how just because you made a grammatical mistake here and there, how he kind of heaps a certain title on you. But, you know, again, you have to remember, he's talking more so about himself than you. So, you know, don't take that personal. I believe we've all kind of been in that situation before. But, you know, going back, you know, it's interesting because I remember, you know, reading a couple of stories in the past and how people used to say that Sunday was the most segregated day of the week because you have the black churches, you have the white churches. William, you want to read that interesting fact about the pinwheel?
Whoa! Let me jump on my get my 50 interesting facts page up. Which one was it there?
I believe it was number either 714 or 24.
714 or 24. Let's scroll up.
Talking about the whistle and the comb, and, you know, basically they had the, if you, you know, weren't lighter than a certain shade, and if you couldn't pass a comb through your hair, you were not admitted into a particular church.
Oh, that
was
in the 20s.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. Now I'm digging through. What number was that?
It was either 714 or 22. Yeah. But it's just interesting how, you know, those were white churches that had that originally. And some of that, you know, kind of passed over into the black community because with certain, you know, interesting, I'm going to deviate a little bit, with certain fraternities and sororities, they had the paper bag test, especially for the sororities. And if you weren't lighter than, you know, a paper bag, then you were not admitted. And then, again, you know, you had the pencil test and then also the calm test, just a bunch of these things. And it's just, you know, it's sad how a lot of that, you know, that particular ideology, you know, white supremacist thinking has made its way into our culture and how it's still there. And we really need to deal with that. We need to deal with that.
And it came right there and from the early 20th century, where some churches in the U.S. would hang a pine wood slab on the door with a comb hanging from the string. A person could only enter if his or her skin was lighter than the pine wood, and they could run the comb through their hair without it snagging. So they had to fit two points of criteria. Basically, two forms of voter ID to get into this one. And you have to have enough white in you to get in there. And then you hear that. You hear that now. Like, I randomly hear, like, young kids talking. You know, I live in the city. I walk around, and I just hear them, and they're just like, oh, I don't like her. She's not light-skinned. Like, you hear that, and it's like, it creeps me out. Or, like, one lady, like, I was ogling a woman, and a lady that was near me, she was like, ugh, you like her? Her hair's nappy. I was like, no, that's natural. Like, that looks good to me. I like that. She's like, no, I can't wear my hair nappy. I was like, geez, like, and like how she corrected me, though. Like, when I said natural, she's like, no, that's nappy. Like you forgot that that's how it's actually supposed to be.
Yeah, wow. I initially didn't get the natural hair thing, and then the more I paid attention to it, the more I began to understand, you know, what the points were being made and whatnot. And just my thing is, you know, you see so many people trying to fit some form of a mold or something, like trying to fit a role. If, you know, especially if you look on Facebook and you see some of your religious people, it seems like it's like a script. They repeat the same script over and over. You know, and you have people who just seem like they never want to step outside of the box. And I guess it's what Jim says, you know, phobia. You know, the fear of the unknown. Fear of doing something different.
Exactly. And you just gotta go for it. Like, don't be afraid of it. Like, you know, how they always say, it's going to be very generic, but today's the first day of the rest of your life. Like, do you want to keep doing that same thing you've been doing? Try something else. It could be awesome. Like, my niece is 11-year-old. She loves wearing an afro. She never gets her hair, you know, fried up or any chemicals. She just rocks an afro and maybe throws a scrunchie on it and rocks out. And I love seeing that with a lot of the new young people now. You know, but then, you know, if somebody wants to fry it up, you have the right to do that. But it shouldn't be so normalized, you know, like that's not the only way to do it. And you can just look like yourself, like me. Like I don't always cut my head bald. I let the receding hairline show sometimes before I cut it again. Yeah, that's what nature did. It put baby feet on my head.
Well, listen to you. Well, there you go. Hey. But, you know, again, that goes back into self-acceptance. That goes back into self-esteem. That goes back into being secure with who and what you are. And especially as you get older, you would think that more people would start to accept themselves even more. But, you know, again, going back to what you all were just talking about with some of the things that people were saying about natural, people who have natural hair. You know, I hate that word hater, but, you know...
Hello?
You know... Hello?
Hi. this is Emlyn, guys. Sorry I'm so late. Who's speaking right now?
This is Kim.
Hi, Kim.
Hi, Emlyn.
I'm so sorry I'm late, guys. And I was the one who asked for the time to be moved an hour early, so that's my bad. I'm so sorry.
Oh, yeah, that's okay. Worse. But,
remember,
yeah, we've been having a great conversation. Go ahead, William.
I know. I remember last time I fell asleep. I was late last time.
Yeah, I remember.
My head on my desk.
Okay, one day we're going to have a show where everybody shows up on time.
Okay.
Yeah. It's going to be fantastic.
Is Mario
like
here?
Even, oh, yeah, Mario. Yeah, he's all injured up. You know, he ran up on some big burly dudes.
He had the oral surgery this week. How are you feeling?
I'm all right. Just
pulled
up.
I've been getting texts and messages that there's some we've already had some callers discussing various things like politics and et cetera, et cetera. Are we off topic again, or are we still discussing? What are we discussing right now?
We were just wrapping up natural hair. Kim was just about to shut the game down with the natural hair.
Okay.
But no, that's fine. But no, it's interesting. But yeah, we've had some, you know, different callers calling in, but, you know, basically, you know, talking about the racism and the hatred propagated by religion. I had William read a point from the 50 Interesting Facts About Race and Racism, and basically talking about the Pinewood Slab with the comb hanging from a string and how people could only enter if their skin was lighter than a pine wood and if they can run the comb through their hair without it snagging. And this was at churches. You know, this is, you know, in the early 20th century, some churches. And, you know, interestingly enough, like I said, those were, you know, white churches, and how some of that kind of played over into some of the black churches and some of the black sororities and fraternities. So it's been interesting.
Oh, cool. Okay. I think when I was discussing with William what certain talking points I would be coming with this week, I was I told him that I would be quoting directly from various religious texts and how I feel that racism has been propagated by, in monotheism at least, by their scriptures. And I said propagated, but not created. I feel that these religions were created for various reasons, but racism was part of that reason, or xenophobia, more accurately, was part of why they created these religions. Because, you know, once men would develop the ability to travel far and wide and meet people that looked vastly different and behaved vastly different from themselves, then you see that there are differences between you. And people tend to focus, when they look at themselves and another group of people, on the differences that they think are wrong or bad, because no one ever really likes to focus on how someone might be better than them. So, or might be doing better, or might be behaving better, or might have a better idea than them. So I think these religions, you know, I'm pretty sure that wasn't the primary focus, but they are innate and ripe with racism, and their religions propagate them. Some of them blatantly, and some of them, you know, more insidiously.
That's true.
I think the number one that we have in the big three would probably, everyone would say, Judaism. You have a religion that tells people that you are born of a certain ethnic group, and that makes you better, that makes you chosen. Just the mere act of being born in that certain ethnic group, the one thing that nobody can control, is the one thing that makes you better. Not even your beliefs, but just, which, you know, we can exert a fair amount of control over what we believe and what we don't believe, but just your mere being and being born to the right group makes you fit for heaven. I had a Facebook friend who posted a quote from the Talmud, and it says, there's a prayer that a Jewish man must say every day, and it is, thank you, God, for making me Jewish and making me not born a woman or a slave.
Wow.
So the best things in life you can be, the thing in life you can be is a Jewish man, followed by a Jewish woman, then, you know, everyone else, and then a slave. Those are the worst things you can be in life. Like, that's order of priority.
Right. Well, see, the interesting thing is that at one point in time, you know, that particular culture, Jewish culture, they were the ones that were living in the quote-unquote ghetto. That's mm-hmm. where that name derived from. And that's why I was telling people earlier today that they really need to go out and do some research on the history of these things to kind of get a better understanding, to glean a better understanding as to how it derived. And, you know, again, you know, Irish people and Italians, when they came to this country, they initially were put on the same level as Africans, as blacks. And, you know, at one point in time, you know, it was pointed out even in this article, but I read about this a while ago, but they were referred to as Guinea, and that was a derogatory term. And as time went on, you know, because initially, you know, people were segregated, but not necessarily by race, you know, and again, you know, race is a social construct. And, but basically when they keep the people on the lower rungs of the socioeconomic ladder fighting one another, then the people at the top, they have nothing to worry about, because all they'll do is throw another factor into the equation and into that mix and keep them fighting amongst one another. But, you know, it's just interesting how it has evolved in this country, you know, and not only in this country, other countries as well. When we did our, you know, show on colorism. You know, I was talking about, you know, talking about it from a global perspective and how they have some of the issues in these other countries as well. It's just, it's important for us to understand how it all evolved, which means we have to go back and read the history. But yes, at one point in time, you know, Irish and Italian people were basically, you know, relegated to the same derogatory, you know, level as, you know, Africans were. And it's just interesting because in, you know, in many of our communities, that's where some of the conflicts come in. And what I find interesting is that a lot of African Americans, you know, try to emulate, especially the Italians. And it's just, it's interesting when you look at the history.
I actually was part of a very interesting discussion on Black Atheists group last night, where someone put up, there was a string of very, very racist Black nationalist posts in the group. And, you know, one woman was saying how people saying all kinds of things, like, you know, all the bad things that all the negative aspects of the Black culture are a result of Europeans, some blame Arabs, because, you know, of course, the Arab slave trade of Africans existed long before the European slave trade. So, you know, they were blaming everybody. And you know, I think I made a comment that, you know, everybody wants to think that their race or their nationality is so great, and that's fine. But, you know, we need to look at this from perspective. The Germans during World War II thought that they were the chosen people, and that's terrible because of what it caused them to do. And okay, there were a lot of Jewish casualties because of that. But, you know, the Bible and the Torah chronicle this. The Jews were committing genocide long before anybody else in recorded history. God, quote-unquote, told them to go out and kill non-Jews, people that had greater resources than them, whether that was financially or educationally. They took these people's resources, took their land, took their women, and, you know, killed their children and their men. And they claimed that God wanted this. Adolf Hitler claimed the very same thing. It's the same thing that you see in the Aryan Nation and that you see among a lot of racist Black nationalists. Thinking that you're better, you know, it's not even really the feeling of superiority so much as what it makes you do. If it completely blinds you to the things that are wrong within your community, to the point where you are enabling the things that are poisoning your community, and you have this blind, prejudicial hatred of everyone else based solely on race or ethnicity or nationality, then that's a problem.
Exactly. And, you know, what's interesting about it is that there are some people in these, you know, religions and these particular cultures here that will do what they are told regardless if it's the right thing to do or not. Even if it's something wrong, if an authority figure tells them to do it, then they will continue on and they will do what they are told, even if
exactly.
It goes against, you know, against something
when
they believe.
We have Rwandan soldiers and German soldiers that were brought up on war crimes, and a lot of their excuses were, well, I was just following orders. And,
right.
You know, that's another thing that religion propagates, too, where you're not thinking for yourself. You have to obey the authority. When you use a religion to try to manipulate someone and tell them to obey authority their whole life, why are you surprised when they obey the quote-unquote wrong authority? You told them to obey. You've been telling them to obey their whole life and not think for themselves. This book will think for you. This person in a position of authority above you, they will think for you. They will tell you what is right, and you just do it. And
what bothers me is
not even religion brainwashing people into thinking that things that are wrong are actually right, but that people who actually feel in their heart that this is probably not the right thing, not even brainwashed to the point where they think it's right, but actually feel, hey, maybe this is something bad, will do it anyway because it's like, oh, well, that's God's will, or that's Allah's will, or that's Yahweh's will, and they'll do it anyway.
Exactly. And I tied that in earlier when we were talking about politics, and about how some of the Romney supporters and contributors were sending out letters and emails and, you know, any type of correspondence with their employees saying that if Obama is reelected, there are going to be dire consequences. So they were encouraging them to vote for Romney. And I kind of put it on the same level, even though it's political. But, again, these people were taught to be obedient and to subjugate themselves to people in authority. So it's really interesting. What?
There is a video on YouTube. I don't know if I can find it anymore, but it has Chuck Norris saying that a re-election of President Obama will bring about the apocalypse. Now, wouldn't this be an awesome scare tactic if you actually believed that there was going to be an apocalypse? For those who want the apocalypse to come, they would re-elect him just for that, because there are many theists that are waiting desperately for the world to end so they can be raptured up with their God.
Exactly.
And some of them just want to see an all-out war and an end of humanity, because religion has brainwashed them to the point where they don't care about life anymore, not even their own.
Exactly.
All they care about is pleasing this fictional figure.
You are spot on right there, because, you know, the interesting thing about that is, you know, again, when you look at some of the communities, and again, I'm talking about here in the United States, and when you go into some of the more or the most religious, you know, communities, those communities are the ones that are usually, you know, riddled with crime and riddled with, you know, the unwanted or teenage pregnancies, riddled with STDs, and just, you know, just a lot of different things that go against, you know, what's taught in the Bible. And the interesting thing about that is, you know, and this is just my opinion, with many of these people, again, I've said this before and I'll continue saying it, that a pathological, you know, behavior is fostered and cultivated in those communities. Because it seems as though they don't necessarily, not all of them, but quite a few of them, do not care about life as it is now, because they feel as though that there is an afterlife and that, you know, they will be vindicated and, you know, held up and heralded in the next life. So they don't care what's happening now. And, you know, even when they commit egregious acts or crimes, you know, again, the Bible says that the person that they committed the crime against is supposed to forgive them, that God forgives them, and they're supposed to forgive themselves. And even if they commit the same crime or a more egregious crime, that they are to be forgiven again. So,
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
Judaism says that a Jew can do anything he wants. Islam says that a Muslim can treat a non-Muslim however he wants. And Christianity says, just ask Jesus forgiveness and he'll forgive anything, and I mean anything. That's like the perfect get-out-of-jail-free card, and I'm so glad you brought up the black community, because I see that there is such a sense of, it's a dichotomy of despair and entitlement, like, I deserve to fill in the blank for all the things I'm suffering through, and my life is in shambles right now, but somebody is going to pick up the pieces. Somebody is obligated to pick up the pieces. And I see what Christianity has done to the black community. And we also have the wave of many, many, many black Muslims in the United States who, you know, quote-unquote, reject the religion of the white man, but they will embrace the religion of the Arabs. And, you know, Europeans can't take blame for everything. There were problems in Africa before anyone got there, I'm sure, because every nation and every continent has problems. But, you know, Muslims, Arabs, their part in screwing up the continent before the Europeans did. And so they will embrace this religion because it's the right religion, quote-unquote. But the fact of the matter is, when you believe in a God who will commit atrocities, and especially for Muslims and Catholics, tells you that suffering isn't just a byproduct of life, but something that will bring you closer to that God, of course, you're more likely to embrace suffering rather than proactively work to better your situation.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
I see a lot of black Christians in the United States. It saddens me because, you know, it's Jesus this, thank you, Jesus that, Jesus this. Every single day, the smallest things are considered, quote-unquote, miracle. The word miracle has completely lost all meaning. You know, my child support check came in. It's a miracle. I almost got in a car crash, but didn't. It's a miracle. you know, I delivered a healthy baby. It's a miracle. I'm like, that shit happens every day. The word miracle has completely lost meaning. It's gotten to the point where they will praise God just for not having a shitty day and call it a miracle.
Exactly, but that goes back to what you said earlier, despair. You know, again, it's my opinion that in general, you know, the black community is in a depression. And there are different factors that need to be addressed. But, you know, yeah, you're exactly right. They're thanking God for everything. They ask you if they can borrow $20 from you. You give it to them. They don't thank you, but they thank God, which is interesting.
Yep. You know, I saw a lot of things particularly interesting, especially, you know, with regards to a lot of the things y'all were just talking about. I listened to a lot of the history podcasts, and one of the things that the guy told me, he said, and his name is Dan Carlin, he does hardcore history, if you ever want to listen to it, and he said something that actually I kind of thought about myself, that there's no culture on the planet that hasn't in some way even been touched by slavery or had slavery itself. And, you know, I find it interesting how, you know, especially like a lot of people, white or black, are really gung-ho about how God supposedly freed the Israelites from slavery. That didn't end slavery. And that didn't end slavery for anybody else except for the Israelites or that group of Israelites and stuff like that. And you gotta think, why does a God need to talk to somebody else and to talk to somebody else and to lose his people from slavery? And then they have to take decades to get to where they're supposed to be or where he said they were supposed to be. They had to kill all those people who were living there, too, to get that land back.
I don't even understand either European or black Christians, because the God of the Bible, Yahweh, specifically says that Jewish people are the chosen people and that he will send them a Messiah. Jesus proclaimed to be the Messiah of those people. He lived and he died a Jew, but you are a Christian. You are not Jewish. You are white or African, and you think you're going to get rounded up and saved, too? How does that work?
All right, and the casualties, you know, we talk a lot about what the Germans did in World War II. We're talking about 6 million Jews. German casualties were almost two to three times the Jewish casualties. Russian casualties was more than German. Even Japanese had more casualties than Jews. And I'm not trying to diminish their pain or anything like that. I'm just saying that we forget that World War II was a horrific worldwide conflict with everybody's fall.
Tons of people suffered in those concentration camps. Like you said, it wasn't just Jews. It was Jehovah's Witnesses, Russians, homosexuals, blacks. I mean, there were all types of people that didn't fit the Aryan plan of what a perfect person was. And those people all suffered. But, you know, they're like, oh, well, a lot of people died in the Holocaust. Like, well, it wasn't invented just for your people. Other people died, too. So it's one of those situations where I feel like sometimes I feel like people are clinging to this in order to martyr themselves and get attention. And not only that, but try to remove themselves from criticism. You say something against a religion and all of a sudden you're anti-Semitic and you get the Holocaust thrown in your face. So it's kind of like that. Don't touch. No talking zone. It's like that hot button issue that as soon as someone says anti-Semitic or Holocaust, whatever you were saying, well, that just put you in your place.
Well, I mean, you know, there are some people that would say the same thing about blacks and slavery and, you know.
Oh,
and,
for sure.
Again, these were horrific. These were horrific crimes against humanity, you know. But,
right.
Yeah, and you're right. You know, a lot of people are not familiar with the fact that, you know, they don't understand what the pink triangle means and where that came from. A lot of people aren't familiar with the blacks that were killed over in Germany during that time, and that's why I think it's important that we bring that information out, because there was a black Holocaust over there, and, you know, that's been, you know, kind of quietly kept. And then also when you go back to the Olympics, there was a reason why they had the black power fist up there, how they were mistreated when they went to that country and how Hitler didn't want to, you know, shake their hands, not that they wanted to be best buds with him or anything like that, but, you know, there were some things that are customary. So, yeah, you know, it's interesting. You know, we definitely need to go back and teach people the truth.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's one of those situations where.
Oh, yeah, no, I was just going to say, and also we have to remember there were internment camps in this country as well.
Yeah, there were. There were refugee camps for the Koreans. There were internment camps for the Japanese. But, mm-hmm. I mean, it's one of those situations where, you know, it's great to have that history out there, but if something happens, you can't act as if it only happened to your group. That's a no for
right.
all the Holocaust perpetrators. And secondly, you can't act as if the people who offended against you are the worst group of people in the world. Everyone has sordid details in the history of their ethnicity or their nationality. That's unavoidable. And, you know, and it's I see it happening now, too, with the way that some Americans almost glorify 9/11 as an excuse to discriminate against people from the Middle East. It's like you don't even have to be Muslim. You just have to look Arab. And all you're going to get all kinds of hate. 9/11, never forget, you know, terrorists, all this stuff. And it's like, it's not, it's, that person is not responsible for 9/11. 9/11 is not the worst tragedy that ever happened. 9/11 isn't even the worst American tragedy. Like, it's people are just using it as an excuse to, you know, push an agenda, really. And that's really all it is in the long run. Oh, you're going to criticize me? I'm going to throw this in your face. Oh, you're... I feel that, you know, my race should get, you know, special treatment, or my group should get special treatment. I'm going to pull out this card. I guess it's a white American, 9/11 is a white American version of the race card.
Exactly. Well, you know, it's interesting, but yeah, you know, definitely, you know, these are some things that need to be addressed, but, you know, again, I just have to be careful because we can't just relegate it to that one particular group because, I mean, there are a lot of different groups that do the same thing. Even with many of the Christians in this country, especially with the rise of non-believers, the increasing numbers that we have, anytime we try to criticize them or critique what they have to say, you know, now they're trying to scream out that they're oppressed.
Oh, no, you're anti-American. That's what that is. You don't care about American values. Because, you know, all American values are the same. And being Christian is the same as being patriotic.
Exactly. So it's interesting, you know, just looking at all of this. You know, it's just interesting how, you know, all of this has been kind of shifted around and how it's being wielded as a weapon. And we have to be careful about those types of things. But, yeah, again,
if you look at Fox News, atheists are responsible for all the current problems in our countries, right? Atheists followed by immigrants followed by Muslims. We've created all the problems in the world where we're sending this country to hell in a handbasket. And, I mean, it's been almost 40 years. And these right-wingers can't even let go of that Roe versus Wade verdict. And they're still harping on about this abortion issue. And, I mean, just this year alone in Oklahoma, abortion became illegal in that state. And other states want to follow suit. And it's an issue where, it's like you were saying before, or I believe Mario said in the last podcast, religion doesn't mesh with reality. But these people wanted to so badly. And it's another issue, too, where you can use religion to manipulate different races. There are billboards all over inner cities that say, you know, the most dangerous place for a black person is in a black woman's womb. Or religion kills X amount of Hispanics a month. I mean, abortion kills X amount of Hispanics a month. And, you know, they know who they're hitting with that information. They want these people to be guilted by their religious beliefs into, you know, not aborting.
Yeah, I've seen those. They have a little cute little chubby black kid on him. Saying something like that, you know, abortions killed this many black people or something like that. I think it's lame pointless propaganda.
Yeah,
The black community and the Hispanic community are the largest growing in the United States. So if we are, quote-unquote, killing that many, how are they growing so fast?
Yeah, what I would say with abortion, like from personal experience with ex-girlfriends as a teenager, like I was talking about this on Kim's page on the Facebook there. Abortion helped me. It helped me not become a teenage father dropping out of school and, you know, working down there at Jack in the Box, you know, flipping that burger there. And it let me just grow as a person without trying to raise a person because, you know, even at 23 years old, I was still kind of retarded. I'm 29 now, and I'm really not that brilliant. I make dumb mistakes. And I should not have a new human being that I'm trying to teach anything when I still don't know a bunch of stuff.
Right.
God
right.
will make a way, William. God always makes a way.
Hey, yo, we got a caller, y'all. So let's see what 360. Talk to us. What you got to talk? Hey.
What is happening, y'all? This is Travis Simmons, the Big Funny.
Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah. Man, did someone just say God will make a way? What was
that?
That
was sarcasm.
I lost my train of thought.
That was sarcasm.
Like,
you know God will never give you more
okay.
than you can bear, Travis.
Ooh, I lost my train of thought. My head started hurting. I started sweating. I was going to have to throw a wet rag on my forehead. I don't know what to do.
Lay your burdens down and Jesus will pick them up.
Oh, yeah.
These are all the great
yes,
euphemisms
yes.
I learned as a Catholic.
God's a mysterious lady. Yeah. God's a very mysterious, pretty lady.
He works on his own time. He doesn't work on your time.
And he's
okay,
a,
I'm going to stop.
Hey.
I'm going to let Travis get his thought back.
Hey, my quick Ingersoll quote of the day is, the church has been the enemy of every science, of every real thinker, and for many centuries has used her power to prevent intellectual progress. Robert Greene Ingersoll.
Check
yeah,
and
like,
check.
Take that with you. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, so what y'all talking about tonight? What y'all you talking about? Are you really talking about the main issue? I just got back. I had to make a run.
We're talking
but,
about racism as propagated by religion.
Oh, it definitely does.
I think one subject we haven't talked about is how religion, Christianity especially, is responsible for the very distorted race relations we have between whites and blacks in this country.
Absolutely. Hmm. There were separate factions of the Methodists that for 20 years before the Civil War, there was a break, and the Northern Methodists argued that slavery, if you had slaves, you were going to hell, and the other side argued that there was slavery in the Bible, so it must be cool. And we, on the phone here, I can tell by some of the twang in your voices, we're all part of the heathen class.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is the way I feel about slavery. The Bible clearly condones it. The very fact that Jesus even tells slaves to obey their masters can even be seen as encouragement. But my issue was never with whether or not slavery existed in any of these holy books, the Bible, the Torah, or the Quran, etc. My issue was with the two sorts of people. The first type who felt that it was okay because the Bible said so, or the type who knew that it wasn't okay but still went along with it because the Bible said so. Both these parties of people are culpable of from either their brainwashing or their condoning of atrocities are responsible for propagating all others of ills brought upon by religion. There are people that put up with all kinds of gross violations to human rights because their holy book says so. People, they commit them because their holy book says so.
Right. Well, Jefferson Davis himself, you know, if anybody pays attention to history, Jefferson Davis was the guy who said that he was president of
southern United States, and they called themselves China, the Union and all that stuff right there. And so he said, my own conviction that Negro slavery are strong. It has its evils and abuses. We recognize the Negro as good in God, and God's book and God's laws of nature tell us to recognize him, our inferior, fitted expressly for servitude. We cannot transform the Negro into anything one-tenth as useful or as good as what slavery enables them to be. That was their mistake. So it was ingrained in not only the culture, but the religion that they believed they were doing something right. And a study I saw, and I can't remember exactly where I saw that, but there was a doctor who expressed regret at a study he had done in which he conducted an experiment to see how far people would go if they were given the order to do it, to do certain things. And it's a trip that, you know, he even expressed regret for, because these I guess they were teens or young men in a pack. If you give them orders and you continue to push them, they will do whatever you tell them to do. And so they won't, they'll start questioning whether or not it's right or wrong. If everybody else is doing it, why am I not doing it? So,
I have a question for you guys, since we're on the subject. How do you guys feel about black Christians that you have interacted who will say that slavery was a good thing because it brought us to Jesus?
I said that.
I haven't interacted with anyone that said that, but I think off the top of my head, I think the way I would react to hearing that, man, geez, I don't know if I'd, what would I say back to that, because it brought you to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Dang, that is.
I would say you're right. And the only reason why you know Jesus is because your slave master worshiped a dude named Jesus, okay? And just so y'all really know, in Pennsylvania, before the Civil War, if you were black and a Christian, you could be free. But if not, you still had to be a slave. So
well,
really,
call me a
he's right. The only reason you're a Christian is because of slavery. You're right, though.
I got a bit of a response to that to it in my head. Okay, yeah, if I interacted with somebody and they said it was good, my response would be kind of rough. This kind of stuff that you can't just say in casual company, like definitely not in the workplace or among the Thanksgiving dinner table. And I'd be like, you know, that's like somebody a porn star saying, being molested as a child showed me my way to my career. Like that's terrible. Like something bad led you to something stupid and bad too. Like what's your problem? Like somebody saying, because I got bullied, I committed suicide, and that was a good thing. Like, get out of here. Like, something terrible led to something bad, too, and, like you're retarded.
I've had all kinds of responses, of people saying, well, you know, the only reason Africans were enslaved in the first place, because all slaves came from all of Africa, not just a couple countries. They were saying that, you know, they were heathens, they were pagans, they were devil worshippers, and they needed that instruction.
Yeah.
They needed slavery to be forced upon them, to force Jesus upon them, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, I see things like this, and my response is like, William, there's some things that you can't say and not expect to get a very harsh response. If God wanted us to know him, and he's an all-powerful God, did our ancestors have to go through hundreds of years of slavery for the message to hit home? And we still have black atheists. So apparently it didn't work all that well.
Yeah, like before I respond,
you know,
I'll have to write parental advisory on my forehead and let you know I'm going to be saying phrases to you like stupid motherfucker and completely full of shit. I'm going to be saying these things. Get ready to hear these words in my response. Because, yeah, it's not polite to say what my response is going to be if I hear that.
You know, if someone said that to me, I would start off with a nigga please, and then I would hit them with a barrage of details saying, you really believe that there was anything good about black women being raped on the regular for 400 years? Get out of my face, stupid ass.
Well,
yeah, I mean, it had to be like that.
Men and children were raped too, but that's just not talked about.
Well, you know what?
We had perverts and pedophiles among the slave masters as well. They weren't all into women, and they weren't all into adults.
It's talked about, but it's talked about amongst us. Like once, you know, when somebody's talking to like their younger cousin about, you're like, hey, you know, little Timmy, I'm going to sit down and tell you about slavery in America. They're going to leave that part out. But that's why they need, as I said earlier, before you got on, Kim put up this canvas so we could paint it with these free thoughts. And that's good. So, you know, whoever's listening, they can know that, yeah, this conversation about these things, about the men getting raped, that conversation will happen on this show.
Yeah. Wow, painting a canvas with free thought. I like that. That's good.
I think there's a mental disconnect there, because I see people in the Black community, you know, mothers working 2-3 jobs to support children. I see fathers working 2-3 jobs to support families. I see teenagers going out of their way to save up enough money for high-end, you know, Jordan sneakers. And these people take their lives and their passions and the people in their lives very seriously. And these same people, some of these same people will say that, you know, slavery was necessary, suffering was necessary. You know, it's like, for an instant, could you imagine what it was like if you were a mom and you had your child sold away from you? You know, if your child was a byproduct of a rape, if you had your husband sold away from you, if you had him hung in front of you, you know, you can't say things like that are necessary. You're telling me that this God is all-powerful and couldn't come up with anything less gruesome. The thing about it is, the monotheism paints the picture of a God who's obsessed with blood sacrifice anyway. So they know he's a barbarian. But why are you making excuses for him? If he's bloodthirsty and all-powerful, say so. You can't say he's all-powerful and good, but bloodthirsty too.
Right. And, you know, slavery itself is... Yeah. And slavery has never been a good thing. I guess in some ways it would drive the local economy if you don't have to pay people to do it. But, you know, it was a cruel institution. It was horrible. Even back in Roman times, you know, a slave was still property. They treated their slaves a lot better than American slaves did. But still, if you are a good slave, you're there for your master, and this dude decides he wants to kill him, all of y'all die. Every one of you. You have nothing. You have to earn your right to have any type of freedom at all. If slaves, I mean, it's something that you get the wrong master, and your life could be torturous in hell. Your woman, your wife was, I mean, if master wanted to sleep with your wife, what you gonna say about it? There's nothing you can say about it. So, when anybody sit there and thank slavery and praise slavery, show that you really need a time machine to go back in time and chill back there because you like it so much.
Well, here's the thing. Yeah. People will talk about slavery wasn't that bad in Africa. I've heard some of the Black nationalists say that. Slavery wasn't that bad in fill in the blank. But the fact of the matter is, you're still talking about a person who thinks that they have the right and do have the legal right to own another person. That's like saying, you know, let's say you and I were kidnapped and my kidnapper beat me and raped me, but all yours did was make you sit in the house all day or tie you to the bed like that chicken Misery. Yeah, your situation is a lot better than mine, but we're still victims. Like,
Comedian Daryl Lennox said, just because you broke your leg don't mean my paper cut don't hurt.
Exactly. And I mean, we have an account of at least one slave that, quote-unquote, had God's favor in the Bible, and that was Joseph. And the more that I think about the story, the more it sickens me, because in the end, Joseph had status. He was always beloved by God. Yet God put him through shit. I think a lot of people who were slaves clung to that story as, you know, hope that one day they would get out of their situation too, and they would have status and they would have power, and even though they were suffering, God still loved them. In the story of Joseph, regardless of, you know, how slavery was quote-unquote different back then, Joseph did not choose to be a slave. He did not sign up for servitude. He was sold into slavery by his jealous brothers. he was treated like garbage until he proved that he had brains, and then he was exploited for his intelligence until he reached a position of power. He never wanted to leave home. He never wanted to be where he was. He was sold, regardless of how of that not being as bad as a type of slavery where you can get your leg cut off for trying to escape or getting lynched. He was still a slave, and he wasn't happy about it.
Exactly.
Being someone that
I mean, I don't see how. I've heard that a few times, man. You know, and I even go so far as to say, if you're saying if it weren't for slavery, you wouldn't have God. I would also beg you to understand if it weren't for the Romans adopting Christianity, you wouldn't be Christian anymore. So one way or the other, you know, saying you've been screwed. It's only by luck of the draw that you have Christianity. You know, saying if you had been one of the dominant tribes that was actually selling other tribes into slavery, you'd still be over there and you have a completely different religion. Well
not
maybe.
Only that, like if slavery is the only way we could get to God, doesn't that mean that God's power is limited? And if there were other ways that we could get to God and he chose not to use any of those less brutal, violent, you know, ways full of suffering, doesn't that mean that God doesn't love you?
Well, according to a scripture I read, God is usually thwarted by iron chariots.
One of the things to say that a person says that slavery was good because now we're Christian or whatever, is that doesn't that show that God's plan is not that great if it got to have some slavery in it? Doesn't it, you know what I mean? Doesn't it show that the plan is pretty weak, right?
Yeah.
If it has to include thousands and thousands of rapes and killings.
Well, here's
the
thing. The plan isn't weak if that's what God wants. If he's an asshole, that's a great plan. But you can't say he's a good God and he has all this power and couldn't think of a better plan. This is the plan of someone who loathes you. He wants you to suffer.
Well, I'd say I'm with Ingersoll in this one, and because the Bible has slavery in it, that proves that that book is not inspired. It is not the word of an all-powerful, all-wise being, period. Because
if we're waiting on a book that doesn't have slavery in it and doesn't have God committing atrocious acts, then that person, Ingersoll, should be agnostic, because I don't think such a holy book exists.
Ingersoll was considered the great agnostic. He was from the 1800s.
Because, I mean, he's speaking of God as someone who believes that God exists, but this whole benevolent God has yet to make an appearance anywhere.
Anywhere.
I mean, people can say God is good all they want to, but we've read the books. You only have to be literate. And, I mean, the thing about slavery, too, is like I was saying, we still have black atheists. We have diaspora who are atheists, everyone on this phone line. So obviously, if that was the plan, and it was a really shitty plan, it failed. It was a really, really bad plan.
It's just dumb. It's just dumb, and it is just them trying to defend the indefensible.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. I mean, basically, another thing just to say
is.
That person is, if you think that slavery was good because now we're Christians, well then, you know, how about this? I think it would be good if you really read the Bible, because then your ass wouldn't be a Christian.
But that's the foundation of religion. The holy books are a very, very small step. But what most religions want you to go to, temple, mosque, church, fill in the blank, because the people there aren't there to read it to you. They are there to be paid apologists. They are there to justify the injustifiable. They are there to make the wrong look right. They are there to try to rationalize the unrational. And that's a job that people pay them for. They don't want to see what makes them uncomfortable. They want someone to comfort their silly hopes and their silly ideologies. And you can take the Bible, you know, book by book, chapter by chapter, line by line, you're going to run into some bullshit that doesn't make any sense. It's completely incompatible with the way we know the universe works and the way nature works, the way physics works, the way biology works, you know, the way logic works. It's really hard to get through that on your own and defend it on your own. This is a reason why, especially for Christians, very few read the Bible. Most atheists I know read the Bible a lot more than Christians, because they look to it and they want to see what gives them comfort and what gives them hope, and they know they won't find it there until some charismatic preacher tells them what they want to hear. I don't see preachers as con artists, because they are not conning people. They are telling these people what they want to hear. I don't think it's a con where children are concerned and indoctrination is concerned. If you are a thinking, literate adult and you still believe this and you pay someone to keep telling you this crap, you deserve to have 10% of your paycheck taken every week.
No. They're stuck. They're just stuck, and they never found a way out. I mean, basically, if someone, before you can read, told you that a certain book was true, and if you deny this book, it's a sin, and to reject it, you'll surely burn or die, then at that time, your mind is not equipped to even fight back.
Right, but in addition to that, you know, you were forced to take this religion because, well, in two different ways. One, you were guaranteed your freedom if you were to have accepted this religion and professed that Jesus was Lord. Originally, they were claiming, they gave some Africans their freedom when they accepted Christianity. But again, if you go back and you look up the Treaties of Paris, that's how they were able to rescind that particular promise. But, you know, on one hand, you know, when they were promising their freedom to accept Christ, that was one thing. On the other hand, when Africans were rejecting Christ, they were beaten into submission. So it was fear. And I really do believe that same fear has been passed down generation upon generation upon generation. And I think part of, you know, the impetus of Christianity now is a deep-seated fear. I have no scientific evidence to back up what I'm saying, but it's very much so ingrained. Because, again, about the fear of the unknown, it's just interesting.
But here's the thing about it. There is no fear that these religions are filling you that's so strong that they tell you, you can't read the holy book. You can read it. It's not forbidden. It's one of the few things not forbidden by these religions. So if you read it, you would see that. So if you're illiterate or you've never read it, that's fine. But if you just made a decision not to read it. I mean, I see Christian women reading Zane novels and Ebony and Jet religiously, but don't pick up a Bible. Whose fault is that? That's your fault. You made a decision to be ignorant of what you believe.
Well, the majority of Americans read at a fifth grade level. And that's your average American.
The Bible can be read at a fifth grade level. Those were not great scholars that wrote that.
Yes and no, because many of them have been taught to just listen to and believe what the pastor has told them. And many of them, they have not taken the time out to go back and read it, because then again, you know, the pastor will tell them to lean not to their own understanding, because there are some that have gone back to read the Bible and they see the contradictions. So the first thing they want to do is go to their leader, you know, the pastor or whomever, and ask questions. And again, you know, they'll tell them, do not question God, or they'll take the information, they'll manipulate it, or they'll tell them to not lean to their own understanding. So either way,
the Bible says that, lean not on your own understanding. The Bible says to trust the Bible. Don't trust what you think you know about the Bible. Just trust the Bible and trust the people that claim that they are inspired or chosen by God as prophets and as messengers.
Exactly. And again, if those same people, if they are not comprehending or reading, because again, the average American, fifth grade, many people in our community, let's be honest, first and second grade level, if they are not comprehending it or understanding it, and they go back to someone that they trust, an authority figure, and the authority figure is telling them A, B, C, D, and E, and this is what the Bible said, and this is what you have to do, and submit to my authority, And this is what they've been taught by their parents and their grandparents, so on and so forth. That's what they are going to believe. And then the flip side of that is no one wants to necessarily feel as though they're stupid. So in the event that, you know, some of their eyes are opened as to, you know, how they've been bamboozled and hoodwinked, if you will, you know, then it goes back again. I've talked about the stages of grief, how people get angry and upset because they've been lied to all of their lives. And it's true. But, again, you know, with some of them, they just plain and simply do not know any better. And they've been taught to submit and subjugate themselves to those in leadership, and that's what they're telling them.
The heed the words. Okay, I have two things to say about that. The first is, sure, I love the word bamboozled. It's the most awesome word ever. The second is a personal story. Actually, I met about a year ago an illiterate atheist. For years I thought that, you know, obviously you're not reading or you can't read and that's why you believe. Well, he was an illiterate atheist, and his logic was actually pretty awesome. He said if God had wanted me to read his word and obey him, he would have made it so that I could read. How can
that's
I argue that logic?
He got the drop on God on that one. You know what? Because if you read, y'all kept talking about the fifth grade level. If you read at less than a fifth grade level and you're reading the Bible, by the time you get to the begats, you fall asleep.
Exactly.
You can't get to the begats without falling asleep. Right? You just can't. You just can't.
Yeah. Yeah, he said, you know, he
but
said
look,
his article was pretty funny. He told me he met a priest who said, you know, rely not on your own understanding, I will interpret it for you. And he's like, yeah, but my mom always said that men are sinners, you're a man. So even a person who couldn't read could string this logic, simple logic, together. And I mean, this person who couldn't read made more sense than the people who could read, who wrote the Bible. It's not even the Bible that's full of contradictions, but even within the books written by the same person, there are tons of contradictions.
Yep. Like I say, I don't know the Bible that well, because I can't front. I've never read it. Like I've opened one up and just looked at it and just looked at the words and said, this is so boring. Like,
so, do you want the summary?
Oh,
Genesis is how stuff started. Leviticus are the laws. Exodus was how they left Egypt. Judges is what they did to the people that didn't follow the laws. There's a bunch of stuff about prophecy. There's Psalms, which are the whining and complaining of King David and Solomon. Proverbs, how to raise your children and be a martyr. And the Gospels, which cover birth to 9 years old and then catch back up with Jesus when he's 29. And then there's how the world's going to end.
That's so silly. Like, and I have I found one outside of a drugstore.
I was going to say she forgot to. See, what I was going to say earlier was that preachers really got a good thing going, because the way, when somebody reads for themselves, go back and check with the preacher, how they, that preacher has that person already in, like, a particular rhythm that they kind of get them in every Sunday, from what I've noticed, is a passage here, they hopscotch around the Bible to different passages, until they feel it's the right time to hit the tithing part. Okay? You know what
right,
I mean?
That's called proof texting.
Yeah.
It's called proof texting.
It's called what?
And with proof texting, prooftexting. And what they do is they go and they get scriptures, Old Testament, New Testament, from various places, and tie them in to substantiate a point that they're trying to make, even though the majority of the scriptures are definitely taken out of context. I mean, the whole Bible is out of context. But, you know, the whole thing, that's what they do to get these scriptures to substantiate whatever point that they're trying to make.
They're making a best of album of a 2,000-year-old record, and they took the best of tracks, and they said, here, this is a compilation, buy this.
Well, here's the thing. The Bible's only out of context until you need it to be in context. It's out of context when it says that you can't wear blended fibers. It's in context when it says that homosexuality is an abomination. It's whatever you need it to be. And the different denominations can't even agree on what it is. This is a Christian nation.
Exactly.
The non-Christians are ruining everything, but the denominations can't even figure out what they agree on. I mean,
exactly.
Even within the Catholic Church, you have factions of Roman Catholic, Orthodox Greek, and Russian Orthodox, and they can agree on simple things like whether or not a priest can have long hair or facial hair. They
right.
can't even
exactly.
agree on that.
Exactly.
And in the past, they would kill people for those same things. They would kill people if one group thought that the Trinity was one in three, and the other group thought that the Trinity was three in one, and they would kill each other. You know,
well, one times three is one. Everybody knows that.
Exactly.
Yeah. It was really
exactly.
pretty easy to be killed for a heretic, and especially the Middle Ages and Dark Ages. You know, especially when I read about the Inquisition and. I'm talking about hundreds of thousands to millions of women killed because they were thought to be witches. And one of the jacked up parts
mm-hmm.
about that is if you tried to drown a witch and she floated, it means she was using her power to stay afloat. But if she drowned, it means that, well, you were wrong, she wasn't a witch. But don't worry. God's
or maybe she couldn't swim because they never learned how in those huge dresses, and they never want to take them off because they didn't want to be burned as succubi.
Yep.
Never learn to swim.
Because if a woman showed any amount of skin, she was a demon sent there to seduce you and tempt you. She could be burned. She would have been burned as a succubus long before she was drowned as a witch if she'd ever learned how to swim.
Mm-hmm. Well, isn't that similar to Islam then?
Hmm?
Isn't that very similar to Islam then, if she's shown any skin?
Well, they won't say the demon the woman is a demon, but yeah, they'll say she's trying to seduce the man. You know, there are people in Saudi Arabia right now sitting and arguing about whether or not women should be allowed to wear perfume in public, if they should be allowed to wear high heels, if they should wear gloves, because there are men out here saying that if she wears heels and I hear the sound of her heels, I imagine her legs. That tempts me. If she has beautiful hands and she's a woman that talks with her hands, that will tempt me. If she's wearing a perfume that smells beautiful, that will tempt me. Even so far as if she has beautiful eyes, no matter what the rest of her is covered up, that will tempt me. It's all a situation.
Then he needs to stay his ass at home.
Yeah, or I would say, you know, drop the God and go ask her out on a date. Maybe she's a nice lady. Jesus Christ, man. Like, she will tempt me. Yeah, tempt you to go ask her to lunch. Like, go talk to her.
And it's
that's
always
what you're supposed
fault.
To do.
If he succumbs, then she's wrong, because whatever she was doing or not doing, it's, you know, if you went there as a righteous Muslim man, then obviously she did something to put you in that situation. And we have women that are stoned and hung on a daily basis in various Islamic countries after being raped by some guy.
We got little girls getting shot in the head just going to school.
Yeah, I was just about to talk about that. You know, it takes a monumental amount of misogyny and general assholery ingrained in your religion for you to feel justified at shooting a young girl who wants an education. And they're so into that shit that they're still threatening her and her family right now while she's trying to recruit her.
Oh, yeah,
they
said they're going to still kill her. Yeah. How messed up are you? How confused do you have to be? The difference in that mind frame and where we are right here on this line, it boggles my mind, because
right.
I don't see how I could even get there. So how
right.
can I see to get them out of that?
Well, you have to understand,
right.
in these religions, like it's not just Muslim, Orthodox Jewish communities, Orthodox Russian Catholics, they have a lot of the same doctrine about how a woman should dress modestly. And it's a situation where the religion propagates it, and because of all these men are used to, they're not desensitized to the human body in the way that we are. Every man on this line has seen a woman in shorts or a plunging neckline in public. So, you know, you won't lose your mind if you see a bit of her skin, whether accidentally or on purpose. You're not going to go crazy and fall into a rapacious frenzy. It's not
right.
that way for these
that's
men.
somebody's breaking down that when you're in some other country where you got naked people in commercials, there's people are way freer about sex. There's not a big porn thing there because it's already a duh. You know what I mean? You're already kind of dead into it. It doesn't.
There's
a
stigma.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no stigma, because see, that's the problem with porn in this country here, is because it's kind of like the little secret, as you know, something that's like stashed away in the back of the closet. So of course, you know, the things that, you know, people tell you that you shouldn't indulge in, people want to do that. You know, it's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but at least we have the porn. I mean, for a lot of these men, you know, they've been repressed their whole lives. They know the only time they're going to be able to see a woman naked legally is marriage, and you can't tell any person to keep their hormones under control for that long. I really don't feel that there's just something wrong with Muslim men, or something wrong with Arab men, or something wrong with fill-in-the-blank repressive community. It's the community. Repressive communities create perverts and rapists. This is what happens
when people
cannot express their sexuality.
Well, it's religious. Mm. To me, it's religious doctrine that keeps prostitution in there. I don't ever see myself purchasing a woman for sex, but if him wants to sell me a toaster, that's fine, but she wants to sell me her body, now all of a sudden me and her both are going to jail, it's her possession. Why can't she sell it? You know what I'm saying? So maybe, maybe I have a different way of looking at that, but I don't understand why you are telling someone that they can't sell something that they personally want.
Well, yeah, that's one part of it. And the other part of it is, like I said, when you repress a person's sexuality, you tell them who they can be with, how they can be with it, in what context it's right, when it has to happen, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You are creating an environment where that person's emotionally repressed. Emotionally repressed people react in various, very damaging psychological ways, whether it's self-destructive or destructive to their community at large. Something's going to happen. I mean, there's a reason why we still have men being killed and lynched in countries where homosexuality is illegal, and yet they still took that chance to be with that person because they couldn't deny their urges any longer. They knew the risk that they were running, and they ran the risk anyway.
Right. That should be sufficient enough to know they meant that shit. That should be, it really should be. There's a comedian in Seattle, her name is Barbara Sayer, a post-op transgender comedian, who in her joke said that she had the operation having never in her life had a drink. And I was like, well, damn, she meant that shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean,
you know,
I know that I'm going to be killed for this, and I do it anyway, it's safe to say I'm pretty serious about it. You know, like, it's one
mm-hmm.
of those things where you cannot tell an adult what they want, what they should want and what they shouldn't want. And when you keep the human body as something that is property, like a woman's body doesn't belong to her, it belongs to her family and then to her husband. It does not belong to her. It is not hers to show or to share with as she will. And you live your entire life as, let's say, a straight man in a country where all you've ever seen of a woman are her eyes. Wouldn't eyes be the most sexual thing to you?
Oh, yeah, hey, that's the whole, exactly. Exactly. You show a little, show somebody an ankle, they lose their mind.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you have different situations where
that.
The only women they see, you know, without a lot of clothing on, are women within their own family. Of course that would be a perfect breeding ground for incest. If the only woman whose bare arm I've ever even seen is a cousin or a sister, of course I might get driven to that point. It happens. There's nothing psychologically wrong with these men. There's nothing psychologically wrong with the system that breeds them to be so repressed that they go crazy.
Hey, we're down to the last minute. I want to thank everybody for calling in. I want to thank everybody for stepping by and listening in. I want to thank Travis, Will, Emily, and definitely Kim for holding it down for the show and everything. If everybody wants 1 minute, and I guess everybody can repeat what they need. Kim, do you want to repeat the information on the donation?
Oh, very good. I have put it in the room, but it's also on the Facebook wall. for the trip in. So we're asking everybody to donate, you know, whatever they can so that we can expand Black Freethinkers and bring more programming now and in the future. And whatever you can, we appreciate it. And, again, you all get a product. We appreciate it, and it's more to come. Thank you all for your support. I appreciate you.
Ooh, Travis, thanks for the talk, you guys. Yes, thank you. Love you, Kim. No problem. Love you too. Great job, everybody. Have a good weekend.
Have a good weekend.
Everybody have a safe Halloween. Y'all be careful. Y'all be good. See you next time.
Thanks.
And don't slap
go
under a dope beverage. Yeah.
Go read something.